Welcome to our Rambam Yomi Shiurim. We will focus on a different perek every day. And tonight we're going to focus on beginning with Sefer Amada, Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, which is the first of the 14 books of the Rambam, and the first set of halachot within that first book. Before we get there, every book of the 14 books begins with a pasuk. I thought it'd be worthwhile to focus on that pasuk for a moment now as we enter into Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, which are the foundations of the Torah. The Rambam in the beginning of Sefer Amada quotes Davar Melech in Perek Lamed Vav Pasuk Yud Aleph in Tehillim, Mishol Chastecha Liyodecha B'tzidkastecha LiYishrei Lev. We're going to focus on the Rambam's understanding of the mitzvah of Emunah in just a moment. But Liyodecha, those who know you, extend your kindness to those who know you and your charity to the upright of heart. Liyodecha is a very key phrase, and we're going to see that over and over again, that the Rambam's understanding of the mitzvah of Emunah, at least according to many, there are those who argue, is to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Knowledge of the Ribono Shel Olam is, in the sense, an intimate experience with God, the same way Yediya in the Torah reflects more of an intimate understanding of a relationship between two people. Our Yediya, or understanding, or knowledge of the Ribono Shel Olam is critical in order to access a certain level of Emunah and Bitachon in Him. So it's worthwhile to focus already on that as being the opening line of this perek, really of this entire book, which is that our relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam, really the entire perek in Tehillim, focuses on how humanity often fails, but look to the Ribono Shel Olam for guidance and support and for protection. And in this case, our kindness that we request of the Ribono Shel Olam is to be given to those who know him, namely those who probably believe in him, according to the Rambam. Okay, this is the first of the books, Sefer Amada, the Book of Knowledge. And within there are five different components. There's Yesodei HaTorah, that's the one we're going to focus on already today. That's the foundations of Torah. Then there's Deos, we'll get to all of these, Talmud Torah, Avodah Zorah, Chukos HaGoyim, and then Tshuva. Within Hilchos Yisodei Torah, this is all still by way of introduction, there are 10 mitzvos that the Rambam focuses on. 6 of them are mitzvos aseh, they're positive mitzvos, and 4 of them are lo taaseh. I'll very quickly go through them, and then we'll jump right into the first mitzvah, the first perek. The first mitzvah is, right, as we pointed out already, leida sheyesh sham eloka, that there is, to know that there is a God, to know there is Hashem. Again, and that is his form of understanding, anochi Hashem elokecha, as we're going to see in a moment, that this is emunah. To know that there is a God is the emunah of the Rambam. That is the first mitzvah. The second mitzvah you quote is Shlo Yala Machshava Shiyesh Sham Eloka Acher Zulati Hashem. That there shouldn't be any other gods. We shouldn't think that there are any other gods. Liachto, mitzvah number 3 is that we should have a unified understanding of the Ribono Shel Olam that Hashem is one. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, as we'll see quoted in a moment. Dalet is Lahavo, to love Him, to love God. Liyirah Mimenu, to fear Him. Likadesh Shemo, to sanctify His name, making a Kiddush Hashem, so to speak, and understanding the halacha to come along with what it means to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. Shelo Lachal Shemo, not to desecrate His name, not to make a Chilul Hashem, Chas V'Shalom. Shelo Ave Dvarim Shenikra Shemo Aleihem, not to destroy things with Hashem's name, whether that be the Beis Hamikdash itself, which is pretty apropos as we're beginning the 9 days right now, that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed 9 days from now on Tisha B'Av, and our actions ultimately, our actions are the source of that, our previous actions, but also the Yerushalmi points out that the fact that it hasn't been rebuilt means that our door hasn't been zocheh based on the corrections that we could have accomplished to rebuild it, and therefore it's still our actions, but also that the Torah and other Svarim, we shouldn't destroy anything with the Ribono Shel Olam's name. So again, this is the second of the 4 lo taaseh, again, not to make it desecration, lo l'chal shmo, lo l'abid dvarim shenikra shmo aleihem, and then the last 2 are l'shmo min ha'navi v'dav mishmo. We have to make sure dafka to listen to the prophets who are speaking Hashem's name and not the opposite, and shalom and nesoso, and that to test the Ribono Shel Olam. Again, so the 4 lo taaseh are 1, which is the number 2, shlo yale machshav v'sheyesh sham eloka acher zulati Hashem, that there is no other God in our minds, not to desecrate the Ribono Shel Olam, not to destroy things that have Hashem's name on them, and not to test the Ribono Shel Olam. All the other 6 are mitzvos aseh. Let's jump right into Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. So I'm going to try to read as much in the Hebrew as possible. I'll also include in the WhatsApp group an opportunity to be able to look at the Hebrew yourself. But I'm not going to translate word for word. If you'd like to look in directly there, be my guest. I'm going to try to summarize the main ideas and then to bring in as many outside ideas, as many insights as possible. The first five halachos together, in my understanding of them, really categorizes the nuances of emunah, at least on a basic level, for the Rambam. Obviously, this is all going to be about emunah, but we're going to see that there are going to be some nuances that the Rambam already is focusing on at the very, very beginning. Yesod ha-yesodos ve'amuda chachmos, leida she'yesha matsui risho, v'hum amtzi kol nimtza, v'chol ha-nimtzaim mishamayim v'aretz u'ma she'beinehem lo nimtzu ela mi'amitas. Himatzo. So there is a foundation, or really the foundation of foundations, yesod ha-yesodot, that everything in this world relies on and is carried by, namely the existence of Hashem, or the primary being, right? It's matsui ha-rishon. He hasn't introduced yet that the matsui rishon, he will in a moment, is the Ribono Shel himself, but we're going to already, spoiler alert, tell you that that's the Ribono Shel. As a side, there's another spoiler alert here, which maybe the Rambam himself intended, and I imagine he did. If you look at the first four words of this halacha, of the first book of the Rambam in the Mishneh Torah, they spells out a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name. Yesod, Yud, Ha-Yesodos, Hey, Ve'amud, Vov, Ha-Chachmos, Hey. And some copies of it actually will bold those letters. And perhaps this is as a hakdama to the Perek and really to understanding the Ribono Shel Olam in this world, is to put the Ribono Shel Olam's name in front, right in front, right at the outset, really in plain sight, but also perhaps slightly hidden, really maybe paralleling our understanding of and knowledge of their Ribono Shel. As a side, why he calls this Yesod HaYesodos, this is the foundation of foundations, aside from it being obvious that you really can't build anything off of anything without there being a belief in Ribono Shel Olam. Emunah is the first piece of anything in this religion. Obviously, you can't really go anywhere beyond that. You can't fulfill God's commandments if you don't believe in the God to begin with. The usage of the word yesod here is quite interesting. When the Rambam talks about the 13 Ikarim that the Rambam describes, he actually calls, by Perek Chelek, the Rambam actually calls those yesodot. And so when we're thinking about all the yesodot that exist, and the important yesodot that exist, of those yesodot, this is the yesod ha-yesodot. This is the foundation, the key foundation. And again, there is a primary being, and also not only that, but he is the one, or this primary being, brought everything else from the sky all the way from the sky to the earth and everything else in between into existence. And without him, it wouldn't exist. Halacha beis, v'im ya'ale ha'adah shehu einu matsui, ein davar acher yachol lehimatzos. If it occurs to you, right, without him, basically, nothing else would exist. Without the Ribono Shel Olam, nothing else would exist. Namely, God created everything, or again, we're still in the stage of this is a primary being that created everything. And without God still in existence with that, nothing else would exist. It is completely contingent on his existence that anything else in this world does exist. Nefesh HaChayim points out, actually, that this is why the Ribono Shel Olam has the name Makom, place. Because everything in its place, so to speak, is his place. It's all dependent on him and his existence. Halacha Gimel. V'im ya'ale ala da'a she'ein kol ha'nimtza'im milvado mitzuyim hu levado yiyeh matzuy. V'lo yivatel hu levilut v'vitulam. She'kol ha'nimtza'im tzrichin lo v'hu baruch hu einu tzarich lachem v'lo le'echad mehem. Lefichach ein ha'mitaso ke'amitas echad mehem. In summary, without everything else, he, namely this primary being, would still be here. If everything else was gone, he would still be here. Because this contingency is not in both directions. They all require, namely everything in existence requires his existence, the primary being's existence, but it doesn't work the other way around. If everything else totally poofed, gone, tohu va-bohu, everything else was gone, the Ribono Shel Olam, again, you know, spoiler alert, the primary being, this Matsui Rishon, would still be present, because the Matsui Rishon relies on and needs nothing else in order to exist. And it points out, right over here, v'fikach ein amitaso k'amitas echad mehem. That's part of the reason why, and this is where we get a little bit into the word, the truth, and we'll see it again in the next halacha, halacha dalet, in a second. that there really is nothing else that is as true as his existence. It doesn't parallel. And already we're beginning to see that there is no parallel. There is no comparison to the Ribono Shel Olam. And on a very basic level, it's amitas, so amitaso, kamitas achamehem. Impossible. Ein amitaso, kamitas achamehem. There is no other truth that parallels or resembles the truth of the Ribono Shel Olam's existence. So again, so just chazar on the first 3 points. Number one, there is this Matsui Rishon, first primary being that put everything else into existence. It is because of him that it exists. Without him, nothing else would exist. And it's not continued the other way around. If everything else was gone, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or again, this primary being, would still be here. And that's why the truth of his existence is not comparable to anything else. Halacha Dal. Husha Navi Omer, in Yirmiyahu, Perek Yud, Halacha Yud, Pasuk Yud, sorry. V'Hashem Elokim Emes. Hu levado ha-emes, ve'in la'acher, emes ka'amitaso. That's why when Yirmiyahu says, and Hashem Elokim is emes, is truth, right? We don't say ha-emes, right? There's nothing comparable. Ve'in la'acher, emes ka'amitaso. This is the only emes. There's nothing else besides him. V'hu sha'atorah omeres, and the Torah also tells us in Dvarim, we're going to read it soon, ein od milvado, kelomer ein shamatsui emes milvado kimoso. There is nothing else, ain ode, nothing else, milvado, aside from him. Namely, and this is his interpretation, there are obviously other interpretations of this pasuk, that there is no other existence that is as true as his existence. Now, it's worthwhile to point out that Halacha Dalet is trying to accomplish the same thing as we're going to see right now in Halacha Hey, which is trying to provide some sort of proof or some sort of foundation by which these ideas rely on. In Halacha Dalet, the Rambam's going to the written word, the Tanakh, right? Go to Nevi'im, first Yirmiyahu, then to the Torah itself. This is proof of the idea that, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is different, or this primary being is different than everything else. It is the only MS, so to speak. But now we're going to see in Halacha Hey that actually we're shifting from the written word proof to more of a logical type of proof. And again, there are going to be lots of usage of logic here or arguments, philosophical arguments that the Rambam is making. Many of these arguments have been debated over time. The goal of this is not to get into the nuances of the debate. It's really just to know what the Rambam says in these cases. But it's worthwhile to understand that. And again, these are some of his arguments. There are plenty of other ideas that the Rambam himself and many of the commentaries point out as well. We're not going to prove God's existence in this shir. Hopefully you didn't come on believing that you would hear that. But from a philosophical point of view, but we are definitely going to discuss that there is a requirement of emuna in the Ribono Shel Olam's existence as a status quo. Good. Halacha hey, hamatzui hazeh. Now, the spoiler that I've been giving out from the very beginning is going to spell it out. Hamatzui hazeh hu Elokei ha'olam adon kol ha'aretz. This matzui, this primary being, is the Ribono Shel Olam, the creator of the world, the master of the whole world. Great. V'hu ha'manhig ha'galgal mekoach she'ein lo keitz v'tachlis, mekoach she'ein lo hefsek. So good. So we pointed out that the Ribono Shel Olam is this primary being. So now I will refer to the primary being specifically as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he uses the proof of earth spinning as being a proof that the Ribono Shel Olam exists. The Ribono Shel Olam clearly is behind the earth spinning because it's impossible that the earth would constantly revolve without any other thing or any other being causing it to turn. V'hu Baruch Hu, the Ribono Shel Olam is HaMesavev Oto. He's the one that turns it. But already now we're shifting in, the last few words are going to shift this into part two of this perek, which is going to refer to specifically the fact that below yad uvelo guf, the Ribono Shel Olam doesn't have physicality and doesn't have a body. But before we get into that a little bit more for the rest of the perek, it's worthwhile to point out that the Rambam immediately now is pointing out that there is no such thing. Yes, we pointed out that God created the whole world and everything's existence is all to do with God, but there's no such thing as the clockmaker theory in the sense that a clockmaker creates a clock, sets it up, winds it, and it goes on its own at that point. The clockmaker leaves the room, leaves this world, and the clock still exists without the clockmaker. There are those who philosophically argue that the Ribono Shel Olam creating the world was intended to create the world and then leave it alone. The Rambam right here in Halacha Hey is telling us a different version of that story. Namely, that this is not a creation that could exist without the Creator. All in God's creation exists only because God is present and is misavei voto, specifically about the earth, is turning specifically because God is turning the earth. Okay, that's Halacha Hey. And now let's head into what it means. What are the impacts of the lack of body, so to speak, of the Ribono Shlom? But before we get that, that'll be the second half of this. Before we get that, we're going to just even focus on what the mitzvah here is. We pointed out there were 10 mitzvahs that are going to be discussed in all of Hilchos Sodei Torah. Let's get to the first two right now. V'yedias davar zeh, knowing this, mitzvahs aseh shenemar, this is the first mitzvahs aseh, anoch Hashem Elokecha, right, the first of the dibros. I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Mitzrayim, etc., etc., often used as the source for the mitzvah of Emuna. Says the Rambam, the first mitzvah that we're discussing here is that there is one God, that there is the existence of God. That's what we've been discussing until now. And if you get it in your head that there is another God, a different God, lowercase g, aside from the Ribono Shel Olam himself, you are over the lotasa, you have committed a prohibition. And not only did you commit a prohibition of lo yiyeh lecha Elohim acharim apanai, but you are also a kofar v'ikar, you are, and it's a major heretic. You deny basically one of the fundamental tenets, yesod ha-yesodos, of everything else relies on. And therefore, you are an ikar, shezeu ha-ikar agadol shatokol talui boy. Everything else depends on this, as we've been talking about before. It's worthwhile to point out that there is a major dispute as to whether or not Emuna, the mitzvah of believing in the Ribono Shel Olam, is actually one of the 613 mitzvos. It's a big debate. The Rambam does count it as one of the mitzvos and includes it in the 613. In fact, number one, which is pretty important because of the fact that the Rambam lists them in order of what he feels is most important. So belief in the Ribono Shel Olam is number one on that list. There are those who do not count it and basically say, no, you can't count this as one of the 613. It's a prerequirement to getting to any of the 613. It's complicated with the Gemara in Makos, where it talks about that actually the word Torah, which is gematria for 611, it's one of the most interesting gematrias, in my opinion, brought that in the Gemara itself. Torah, Tzivalanu Moshe, right? So 611, if you work out the gematria, were given to us. That's the proof that there are 613 mitzvahs. Well, the Gemara points out, wait a second, it's only 611. Where do the other two come from? Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. Moshe gave us the 611. Where did the other two come from? Those came from God himself. Anochi and Lo Yeh were the two dibros that the Ribono Shel Olam said himself at Har Sinai. And therefore, the Ramban points out, based on the Rambam counting it, that it makes sense that he would count it specifically because, and it makes it complicated for anyone who wouldn't count it, because the Gemara specifically spells out that actually of the 613 mitzvos, this is one of the two that allow the word Torah, which is 611, to add up to the 613. There's a big debate about, in general, about the mitzvah of Emunah, not only because it is a prereq, but also number one, God himself issued the commandment, so it's a little bit of a catch-22. How are you fulfilling a mitzvah of the Ribono Shel Olam to believe that there is a Ribono Shel Olam who commanded you to do this mitzvah? It seems a little bit like, again, that prereq, I needed to do that before I even got to the mitzvahs in the first place. And the second one is really a question of how can the Ribono Shel Olam command belief in general? It's a big debated topic in general. It's not an action, but it's hard to, it's a state of mind. It's not an action that God can command us to believe. These are questions that the Abarbanel brings up, as well as many others. And again, perhaps the Rambam's focus on Leida, to know God, is slightly different here and requires a little bit more work on our part. Okay, Halacha Zayin, we're going to try to make sure that we finish somewhat on time. I know that we spent a little bit of time focusing on the beginning of the opening of the entire series here, so we'll go a little bit over tonight, but hopefully, again, the future ones will stay closer to about 20 minutes. Okay, point that he's making right now is that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is one, not two, not more than two. He's completely one. And don't think of it as like a general category that includes lots of different parts, like, you know, United States of America, la'abdil, right? Where it's United States of America is one big thing, but really actually it's 50 different states within that. No, the Ribono Shel Olam is one. There is no parts to the Ribono Shel Olam. There are other religions that have different parts to God. There's one God. Also, don't view this as one body with lots of different limbs. No, it's all one. Don't view it in any way kind of that is limiting. It's really just one. And the Ribono Shel Olam is different than everything else. As we pointed out earlier, he's more MS than anything else. His existence is more true than anything else. Also, his unification is his oneness is different than anything else that is one. It's worthwhile to also point out, as he's pointing out right now, Ilu Elohut Arbe, Hayu Gufin Uviot. We pointed out before the whole idea that God doesn't have a goof. Well, if there were many there are many gods, and they would have different bodies, and they would have different forms. Now, this is where he gets into the point where we actually, once you say that there's a body, it's a big problem. They should and nimnim hashavim mitziosan nifradim zemize elam orayin sheyeru begufot begaviot, because it's impossible to say that there are multiple gods and they don't have different bodies. That's the only way of distinguishing between the multiple gods. So obviously they have different forms and different bodies, and we just said that actually God doesn't have a body. And how do we know that God doesn't have a body? Well, if God had a body, then actually that would be limiting on God's power, because there is no such thing as a body that has no end to it. If your body has an end, then your koach, your strength has an end. Velokeinu, baruch shemo, our God, hoil v'kocho, ein lokates. His power is not limited in any way. There is no limit on God's power. And he doesn't stop, because actually the Galgal, our earth, constantly is rotating. And that's, again, going back to that logical proof that he made earlier, the philosophical proof that if we are going to believe that God is the one that is constantly spinning the earth, then the fact that the earth hasn't stopped and doesn't stop, it means that God has no end to his power. His body is not the source of his power. Obviously, there is no body. And so therefore, his power is not the power of a goof. The whole of ain't a goof lo yeru lo morot hagufot kidei sheyeh nechlak v'nefrad miyacher. The fiach iyev shor sheyeh el echad. V'idat hadavar zeh mitzvah aseh shneimar hashem lakir hashem echad. This is another mitzvah in and of itself, which is that there is only one God, v'yichudo, and recognizing that it's only one God is part of our saying of Shema Yisrael Hashem lakir hashem echad. Good. Now, just in case you thought that was only a logical idea, a philosophical idea, Halacha Ches says, no, this is actually Mefurash B'Torah, Mefurash B'Torah, Nevi'im, She'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu El Aguf Gviya. There is no Guf Gviya, no form or body to the Baruch Shalom. She'ein Mar, Ki Hashem Elokeichem Hu Elokim B'Shamayim Ma'al V'Yal Ha'aretz Mitachas. Well, it said that actually in Yoshua, right, that God is up top and below. Well, how could it be? Aguf lo yeh b'shnei mekamot. Right? Uncle Moshe Stone says Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. Well, if God is in the Shemayim and in the Aretz, well, it can't be a guf. Another proof now, a different proof than what we said before. Now this is a textual proof. God can't be up in the sky and on the land at the same time if he has a body. That's impossible. V'ne'emar ki lo ri'item kol tmuna. V'ne'emar v'el mi t'damyuni v'yashva v'ilu haya guf haya domer l'shar gufim. Right? So, and Yeshayahu points out, well, who are you going to compare me to? It's impossible to compare me to the other thing. Ah, well, if God had a guf, had a body, then you'd be able to compare God's body to all other bodies. In other words, he's now bringing two different types of proofs as to why God doesn't have a body. One is that it would be very limiting for God to have a body, and that's, we know that that's not possible. And number two is that the psukim seem to imply otherwise. Good. Now Halacha Tes is going to take a focus on anthropomorphism. Why is that? Because we just said God doesn't have a body, and yet we have psukim that seem to imply otherwise. How do we deal with that? V'im kein mahu zeh shekasu b'torah v'tachas raglav. What about his legs? Kisuvim be'etz ve'elokim, that he has finger, yad Hashem, einei Hashem, aznei Hashem, all different parts of the body. How is it possible, if we say that God doesn't have a body, that all these things are described in the psukim? Hakol lefi da'atan shel b'nei adam shehu hu she'enan makirim ela hagufot v'dibra Torah kilashem bnei adam. This is an important line. The Torah speaks in lashem bnei adam in the way that we can understand, and therefore uses all of this terminology not as a way of describing that God has a body, but rather the opposite. Really, just that it is describing how we can understand in our limited capacity, but not as a form of limiting God. If God had any of these body parts, again, it would limit him because any body is limited by definition. So now there's going to be another parsec, idea. Right? Well, charbi, v'chicherev yeshlo? Does God actually have a sword? V'cherev hurig ela mashal v'akol mashal. Ah, no. God doesn't have a sword, right? This is a mashal, and therefore everything is a mashal. Meaning this is a clear proof that God doesn't have fingers or... Right, because God definitely doesn't have a sword. So even if you want to believe God had fingers and hands, etc., doesn't have a sword. So once we're already saying that the sword is not in existence in its limited sense, it's clearly a mashal for us to understand. So to everything, right? So we have four different descriptions. Daniel saw the Ribbono Shel'olam with snow white clothing, and then Yeshayahu saw him with crimson garments, and Moshe saw the Ribbono Shel'olam at the sea and describes him as a warrior at the sea, but at the same time Moshe also describes him as a shliach tzibar har Sinai. So how do you have all these different descriptions of the Ribbono Shel'olam? These are all just images that come through prophecy. This is not how we understand the Ribbono Shel'olam's actual existence. I made it about ein da'ato shel adam mevin, impossible that we can actually understand. We can't possibly understand and comprehend this, and therefore we only get hints and ideas. Can you find comprehension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Impossible. There is no comprehension of Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, wait a second. You might tell me that someone tried to understand the Ribbono Shel Olam. Who was that? Moshe Rabbeinu. Halacha Yud. Ma'ahu zeh shebilech Moshe Rabbeinu la'asig b'shkesha'amar harini no'as kvodecha. Moshe said, I want to see you. Was Moshe confused that he thought that God had a body that he wanted to actually see? No, impossible. Bikesh leida amitas himatz oshel kodesh baruch hu ad sheyadua belibo kimo yedias echa me'anashim shelo panav v'nechka tzuraso belibo shenimtza oso ha'ish nifrad midato mishar anashim. No, Moshe just simply wanted to know the Ribbono Shel Olam in a way that he knows him different than everything else that Moshe would know. Same way, if I know a friend of mine, then that image of that friend is going to be different, even if I can't see them clearly, is going to be different than everything else. I'm not looking to see the image, Moshe says. I want to understand how you're different, how you're uniquely different. I want to literally grasp the understanding that we're trying to describe here in a way that we just said could not be grasped. Moshe Rabbeinu Liyos Metzios HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nifreda Belibo, which would be different in his heart. Mishar Nimtza'im Ad Sheyeda Amitas Hamimatzo Kasher Hu. He wanted to really understand God's existence. And God says back to him, impossible that a person that's totally tied up, and this is where exactly the limitations of a body and our existence, the existence of a human being, we're so limited, it'd be impossible for us to begin to understand what it is that the Ribbono Shel Olam is. Right? Yes, it's true. You won't be able to see my front and I actually understand how I'm different than all the other things. That's impossible for a human being to understand in a limited knowledge. But I'm going to show you my back. What do you mean by back? Okay, I could look at a friend and still be able to figure out who that person is simply by looking at their back, because their back doesn't give away any of their features and why they're so different than everyone else. But I have a genuine knowledge of and a genuine appreciation for who that individual is, and therefore I can understand that. Lahavdil, Moshe would then understand on a very deep level, still very, very deep level, but not to the level that he was looking for, the Ribbono Shel Olam's existence in this world. That's where you're going to see my back and not my front. The Raivin has a problem with this entire interpretation, points out that it's impossible that this is the way that we understand it. He's having difficulty with that because Moshe Rabbeinu was up on Har Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, again, the Luchos Rishonos, etc. How could you understand all of that to mean that Moshe Rabbeinu actually never directly encountered some sort of figure. Unclear exactly what the Ravid's response to those ideas are, but he has a difficulty here, and there's a lot to discuss on that front. Good. In the next halacha, and I'm going to summarize this, the Rambam points out that since God does not have a body or form, no other bodily functions come along with that. There's a list of 26 different things. I'm not going to read this one inside, but you can read it inside. I'll just list them for you. God has no connection to other things, no separation from other things, no place, no measure, no ascending or descending, going up and down, no right side or left side, no front, no back, no standing, no sitting, no time limits. In other words, there's no beginning, end, or age to the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's no change. Nothing can cause them to change. No death, no life in the way that we understand what life is, no foolishness, no wisdom, and again, in our understanding of wisdom, no sleep, no awake, no anger, no laughter, no joy, no sadness, no silence, or no speech. In other words, all the things that we might have understood that the Ribbono Shel Olam had in our own terminology is really just our limited comprehension of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ultimately, something I once learned from Rabbi Ravi Charnoff was that you could only say a sentence of God is. You can't fill it anything. God is strong. Well, then you're limiting God's strength to our comprehension of strong. You have to be very cautious. It actually talks a lot about tefillah in that sense as well, that our tefillahs were set up in a way that we can actually, right? Those are words that we can only use, the Gemara points this out, only because we were given those words. If we came up with those words, we would have to go on endlessly to describe the Ribbono Shel Olam, because otherwise, again, we are limiting him in this world. And so God is a wonderful sentence, because that is something that God exists, God is. Anything else is going to be limiting the Ribbono Shel Olam. Halacha Yud Beis, and we'll end off here. V'hova davar kenhu, kod var halal v'chiyotzi b'chen, sh'nemer v'tehra v'dibber nebiyim, hakol mashal melitza hain. Everything that, again, after we just gave this whole long list of all the things that God doesn't have, whenever you hear anything like that, that God has these emotions, impossible. No, these are just our mashal for us understanding what's going on in this world. Again, that idea that the Torah speaks in our language for us to be able to understand. Right? We know that God doesn't change. And it's true that God sometimes is angry, sometimes is happy, then that would actually be a change in God's persona. So that we don't believe any of that. God doesn't change in his emotions. It's just our way of relating to him. The Ribbono Shel Olam is so entirely different than anything else. We pointed it out. His MS, his existence, his truth of his existence is so different. His oneness is so different. And very clearly right now, our existence and the Ribbono Shel Olam's existence is so clearly different. All the things that we just listed, those 26 different things, all those different actions, all the different body parts that may be referred to the Ribbono Shel Olam, those are only things for people who are Shochnei Batei Chomer, Hashem Ofer Yesodam. Those are only things for people who dwell in houses of clay and whose foundation, and go back to the word foundation, Yesodam, as the same way we started Yesoda Yesodos, Yesodam Be'afar. Our Yesod is ultimately Be'afar. That's our foundation. We are built off of Afar, and therefore that limits in so many ways our existence, and it helps us recognize about who Baruch Hu, the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, is Baruch Yisramam Al Kol Zeh. The Ribbono Shel Olam is exalted, is elevated above all of these limiting factors. Yesoda Yesodos for us who are Shochnei Batei Chomer, Be'afar Yesodam, us people who have foundations in this earth, to be able to have the ability to have a mitzvah of Yesoda Yesodos, to believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam, and to know Leidas Hashem, to know the Ribbono Shel Olam, that is quite a remarkable opportunity for us as human beings to be able to connect to and understand and believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Rambam basically pits this Yesodam to parallel, I think, what he starts off with, Yesoda Yesodos, which is that while our Yesodam is Ba'afar, we still have the opportunity to have a Yesod HaYesodos. Have a wonderful night.